Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Chaf Amud Aleph. We are two lines from the top of Ad She'Adon Nichnas B'Simcha. So we're in the middle of a story over here. Just to remind ourselves, the story was talking about Nachdimon Ben Gorion, who was a drought, and he went to the Adon Echad, who was a Roman person. Properly, he was a Roman person who he owned the wells, and he promised him that if he didn't pay, if he didn't get the water, all the water back that he had lost, that he would pay him an insane amount of money. The number was 6,000 dinar, say 72,000 silver dinars for the water. So that was an insane amount of water, like millions and millions of dollars he would pay him if the water didn't fill up in his wells at a certain date. And the date had come, and he asked him at Shachar's time, that was yesterday, right? And he asked him at Mencha time. And then what happened was that Jenichlas Adam at Simchaso Leves Hamerchas. So then this non-Jewish guy went to the bathhouse. He was so excited he's going to get millions of dollars because the rain, it didn't rain yet. And what happened? Nachdimon Nichlas Leves Hamikdash Kishu Atzuv. So Nachdimon came to the Beis Hamikdash. He was so sad. Nisatef ve'amad betula. He wrapped himself in his atifa. Atifa is like having a talis over your head. And you daven. That's the real way you're supposed to be davening, is having a atifa. You should be putting your talis over your head. That's a proper method for a person. The Lashon Shulchan Aruch is derecha, based on the Rambam, is a derecha talmid chachamim v'talmideihem, that they do an atifa when they daven. And that's definitely proper to be davening when you're davening for the almond, for sure, when you're the shliach tzibur, to put your talis over your head. Amar lefanav, so he said before, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalolam, you're the master of the world, galui v'yadu lefanecha shalolich vod yasisi, I didn't do anything, you know, Hashem. I didn't do any of this for me. I just wanted, it was not for my honor, for not for anything else. I just helped the lochvid base of Asisi. I didn't do it for my father's honor, nothing. I just want to help the Yidden out, help the Jews, that they would have enough water for the Sholosh Regalim. So what happened? Miyad Niskasha, right away. Imagine, amazing how this was. After the rainy season, yet, Miyad Niskasha Shemayim Ba'avim, the sky became overcast with clouds, and the rain fell until 12 wells that he borrowed from him was filled with water to the level that had borrowed and even more. So when the non-Jewish came out of the bath, I was probably shocked. When they encountered one another, he said, give me the money for the surplus water that I have in your possession. Well, the water has even more than I had borrowed, so he wanted the surplus water to be paid back as a part of the original agreement that he would be giving him back. Kilo was a little bit mocking him, like, not only that, I gave you back your water, I even gave you more, go give me back some more water. So what happened was, Amr Lo, so the non-Jews said back to him, Yodani Shalom Hirish Agash Baruch Hu Soma B'Lashvecha. I know that you're a holy man, and Hashem probably listened to your tefillah that you stopped the drought. However, then Yeshcha Pischon Pelecha, I still have a taina against you if we go to court. What's my taina? I'm going to get my money back. It's already nighttime. You missed it. The shkia already happened. Because, you know, when it gets cloudy out, you know, when it rains, it gets very, very dark, so it looked like it was very dark already. Shekvar Shakal Lachaman, already sun already set, and therefore our deal had expired. Shamin Bershus Yardu, and therefore the rains fell in my possession past the deadline, in which case you owe me all that money. You owe me the thousands and thousands of dinar that we had committed to. Chazar v'nichlas the Beis HaMikdash, and Nagrin went back to Beis HaMikdash, v'nis atev v'yomad v'tzuli, went back to Beis HaMikdash, and Yidav v'niyamar l'fan of Ribono Shalom v'sal Hashem. Make it known that you're to the beloved ones in the universe, meaning to Klal Yisrael, make it known to us and to them, the Goyim, that it was daytime. Immediately the clouds opened. The sun was rising and showed that it had clearly been during daytime, and therefore Nachdimon had showed that he had repaid on time. At that moment, the Adon said to him, "Ilu nikardra hachama." The sun not pierced through the clouds. I would have something a tiny against you. But now I have no point. Interesting why he responded. Obviously, you have no point. But I'm sure there's something deeper to what he was saying also. But he was saying that, you're right, it's the daytime, and I have no tainas against you anymore. Tanav, the Braisa says, Lo Nakdimon Shema Ella Buni Shema. His name was actually not Nakdimon, rather it was Buni. But why does his nickname become Nakdimon? Lo Nekro Shema Nakdimon? Because, Shinikadra Chama Bavura. The Lashon Nakdimon tells points out, Kimo Mekader Baharim. It means like to pierce through a mountain. So you're piercing through the clouds. The sun pierced through the clouds on your behalf. Because of that, he has become Nakdimon, which is Lashon of Nikarda, to break through, breaking through. That's why his nickname became Nakdimon. Now the Gemara continues, Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Shlosha Nikad Malahem Chama Bavur. There are three people that on behalf of them, the sun had miraculously didn't set. It was the day got delayed a little bit. Moshe, Yeshua, and Nachdimon Ben Gurion. So we know Bishlam Nachdimon Ben Gurion is Gemara, the tradition that we just had. That was our Masorah, the story that we just had. And Yeshua Nami, that's Psukim and Chomesh. That's what we learn. We're very young in the Psukim and Yeshua. Right? When he said, Shemesh Begivan Dom. That's the famous story with Yeshua in the war. So in that war that Yeshua won, the sun miraculously stayed straight and didn't set yet. Ella Moshe Minon. Where do we know that Moshe the sun stood for Moshe Rabbeinu? So what's the Amar Rabbi Lazar? The Gaisa Achel. We have a Gzera Shava. The Gzera Shava we're learning out over here is that the same words in the same context over here can be used to understand that the same thing meant the same thing as here as well. So here also, the lashon of achel achel, begin, two different psukim. The pasuk says, k'siv hacha achel teis pach techa, which said regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe is telling the Jewish people, Hashem is going to put the fear onto other nations. So he says, achel, k'siv asam achel gad lachem. So the Yeshua says, I'm also going to begin making you great. And this Yeshua included making the sun stand up for, so just like it had for Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see that the sun had stood up for Moshe Rabbeinu in the wars of that Moshe Rabbeinu had fought. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Shimon ben Achino, no, different lashon, asya seis, like Zerah Shefer, the words of putting, that it, literally to put, not putting, P-U-D-D, but rather to put something, taste, to put something. So, k'sivach achel taste pachtacha, I'm going to put your dread on you, of you, k'sivach to biyom taste Hashem, as Amori, in the day where Hashem had put the Amori in us, and put the Amori, lashon of putting, so too, the sun set for the Amori, and were put into the hands of the Klal Yisrael, so too, so with the enemies of Klal Yisrael were put in the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rashi actually doesn't explain where this happens. Rashi in Avodah Zarah explains that the miracle happened during the war of Sichon V'Og. That's where that it happened. However, it's interesting. Rashi in Chumash, he actually says that it happens specifically Og Melech HaBashan. So not necessarily Sichon, but rather just... the first one is not Sichon, rather just Sichon. Just Sichon. And the other one, it says it was Og. So it was either Sichon or Og, maybe both. But that Rashi seems to be so in Avodah Zarah Rashi says Sichon, and in Chumash Rashi says Og. Okay, so that's interesting. Either way, that's the Masorah that happened by Moshe Rabbeinu as well. The Gemara continues now, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Aisa Megufei Dekra. It could be learned out from the actual Pasuk itself, Akzera Shavat, but the Psukim. And the Pasuk says, Asher Yishmu'un Shemachav Regazu Mepanecha. The Pasuk says in Dvarim also, whoever hears your reputation is going to be tremble and fear for you. When? Imasa Ragzu Vachamanecha. When are they going to tremble and become fearful of you? Says the Gemara now, B'shah Sheniktema Lo Chama LaMoshe, the time when the sun miraculously had stayed up for Moshe, the east for Moshe, for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the Lashon, that's when that would happen, and there'd be the great miracle, and that's what we're learning out from the Sukkim, that the sun had stayed for Moshe Rabbeinu miraculously. Now the Gemara continues, V'chein Ir Shelo Yerdu L'Gashamim, a city that doesn't have any rain of on it, the Gemara continues that is going to be a bad thing. Amar V'yudam Arav, that Shtem L'Klala, both of them, the drought and the rain imply a curse, that no crops will go in the city that lacks the rain, and the city that receives the rain will be so drenched that its crops are going to be ruined. It's actually not a good thing that it rained properly. So now, just agav the fact that we mentioned, Rabbi Huda mentioned something, a positive aspect with a negative pasuk, we're going to do the opposite here, it was negative. Here we're going to learn a positive aspect to a negative, what seemingly was a negative pasuk. Pasuk says, Ha'isa Yushalayim Lenida B'Neim. The pasuk in Eicha, which talks about Yushalayim, was like a Nida. Nida is a woman who is beginning her menstruating cycle, she's starting to see blood, and she no longer is allowed to be intimate with her husband, so she's now removed from her husband, she was removed from him, she's now Tameh, everything she touches is Tameh. So that's what Yushalayim was like. So the Gemara says that Amar Avidam Rav, Rav learned this in a positive way, that still a bracha, it still has a bracha in it. Yushalayim, obviously, is a need, is a bad thing, implication, but still, that Kanida Madidi Yishalheta, the need eventually, she will eventually be permissible to her husband, she will eventually be with her husband, so too Yushalayim, Yishal Takan Yushalayim, also one day, we hope, will be back with the unification. Kaviyach, obviously, the Klal Yisrael and Hashem is like a relationship also, that two, we too are going to come back and be part of Yushalayim and be intimate with Yerushalayim through the Karbanos, having the base of Mikdash. Ha'isa ka'aman, Yerushalayim also is like a widow. So Gemara says also, over here, Amar Yehuda Levracha, Rav Yehuda said this also is as an implication of a bracha. What's a bracha? Ka'amana v'lo amana ma'amish. He says it's like an amana, but not actually like, not an amana actually. Ela ki'isha shalach b'ilam disayam. Like a woman whose husband had gone overseas. She's like an amana. She's like, at the time she's waiting for him. V'dayta lachzoleh, he intends to come back. Simon Yerushalayim is not, it's not permanently estranged from us. It's a way, we feel far removed. But the moment we feel far removed, eventually it's also going to come back. There's also a tremendous bracha to that as well, that when a woman and her husband goes on a trip, they're anxiously waiting for each other to come back. That's a Hasidish idea by the 3 weeks also, that there's a chance to come even closer to Hashem, because the time that Kevayach Hashem is removed from us during the 3 weeks, Bina Mitzarim, the time that it's far away, we feel far away from Hashem, that's a time where you feel the connection even more. You're longing even more for that connection to come back. That connection to come back between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between you and Hashem, and Yerushalayim also, a similar thing, is that eventually we're hoping that Yerushalayim will be reunited and be rebuilt. We understand, obviously, Baruch Hashem is a schala of Jews coming back, and the building of Yerushalayim you know, witnessing now all the building and seeing everything in Yerushalayim is amazing, but we're not there yet. We need the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the real completion. We're still in a full-fledged galus until we have that. Also, therefore, the pasuk says, I have made you despised and lowly. So this pasuk is Malachi, describing the low standing of the Jewish people after we go into galus that we have in the eyes of the non-Jews. They hate us so much, they're not going to point us to high positions, they're not going to make us custom officials or police officers, things that people generally don't like, positions of power that would generally be not despised by the Jews of that, would not like those type of people. And unfortunately we saw this, and you know that when the Jews got very powerful, a lot of times they were not necessarily nice to their brethren in previous history. So that the Gemara continues. V'hika Hashem es Yisrael kasher nura nakana. Another pasuk. Yakana b'mayim. Hashem is gonna hit on Klal Yisrael. Is gonna hit them down like a reed that sways in the water. Amar v'dam Rav Levracha. Damar Rav Yishmon Marchmini Mar Yochanan. Ma'idech Siv. So this is also a good thing. Why? Because the pasuk says Neimetim Pitzei Oyev v'niras Nishikois Soneh. That the wounds inflicted by a friend are trustworthy, while the kisses of an enemy are bad. They're deceitful. And what is this referring to? So the Gemara says, what is this deceit over here? Tova klala shekila achiyah shelones Yisrael. The curse achiyah shelones curse to Yisrael is still better than the bracha shebechem bilam rasha, the bracha which bilam the rasha gave us. Achiyah shelones klala bekana. He gave us a metaphor of a reed. Amar lam Yisrael v'yikah Hashem es Yisrael kashir nakana b'mayin. The pasuk says Hashem is gonna knock us down like a reed that sways in the water. And this is Achiyah Shalani is prophesizing against Yeravam ben Nevat for leading the Jewish people into Avodah Zarah and all the terrible affairs. Yeravam ben Nevat has no chelek in Olam Haba, very, very tremendous, terrible affairs that he did. He wouldn't let them do Alila Regal, all these terrible things that he did. That's going to be like a kada. He still uses a kada, Omed b'makom mayim. So too, a reed stands in a watery place. V'gizam achlev, still, its stalk can grow back when it's cut. V'shar Hashem Ruben, and it's going to have numerous roots. Afilu kol rilcha shalom baos nesho, even if it gets blown away, in mezizos makom, if it tries to get blown away, it's not going to budge from its space. It's going to sway with them. Demar ruchos, as soon as the winds subside, amana karamakova, it's going to stand straight. So too the Jewish nation, we're going to sway under our enemies, we're going to sway under the things that we're going to go through, but still, as the oppression passes, we're going to regain our strength. So too, aval bilam marasha b'irachan b'erez. However, bilam the rasha, he gave us a metaphor of, he gave us a bracha from an erez. Shenemar ka'arazim, the pasuk says, ka'arazim. The bracha of Bilam, right, that he had to give Klal Yisrael, so he compared us to an erez, to a cedar. And the cedar's erez, the ain't made from kamayim. A cedar tree cannot stand in a watery place. The inkizamachav, not only that, once its tree trunk is cut off, it does not grow back again. The ain't shar shav merubin, it's also, its roots are not numerous. And all the ordinary winds of the world will blow on it, they cannot budge from its place. When the powerful south wind comes, it's going to uproot it and not be able to recover from such a thing. So too, Bilam is giving a bracha, but that's still, Klal Yisrael is not easily brought down, but it's like an erez, and once an erez, unfortunately, would be knocked out with something major, it would not be able to recover. So that's not a good thing. So we see that the wound that was by Achiyah, the curse kilu that he was giving us, that was less problematic than Bilam's bracha that he gave us, because he was telling us that if we're really strong, but in the same time by telling us really strong though, if something really even stronger than us would be able to knock us down, we would not be able to get up. That's not a good connotation. Velod ela shezacha kana litol mina kumos. Not only that, a reed has pens drawn from it, lichto b'sefer Torah neviyam ksuma, which we could write the sefer Torah. That's what we use to these reeds, the quill like things to use quills. That is a idea also. A special aspect to a reed as well. Now the Gemara continues that the concept of a reed is better than a cedar. Tarabat in the olam yeh adam rach kekana. Person should always be soft like a reed. He should be flexible. He shouldn't be somebody who's too, you know, strong minded. Well, yeah, kasha keres. Don't be strong minded like a cedar. Maisa, and we're going to show an incident that seemingly would demonstrate this. Shaba Rabbi Eleazar Rabbi Shimon Migdal Gadar. He came from Migdal Gadar. The base rabbi, he was learning from his rabbi's house. V'arachav al chamor, he was riding on a donkey. Umatayal sasanar, he was traveling on a river bank. V'samach simcha gadol, he just was so happy. Why? Why does that? He's so happy. Yimnei shalama Torah Arba, he learned so much Torah from his rabbi. Not necessarily, it was a little bit of a haughtiness, but in a way that it was not a good haughtiness, that even though he learned Torah. So turning on to the next someone now. He then is damelo adam she mechor biyoyser. He ran into a really ugly person. Rashi has the girsa that it actually yesh farm shavadam and Eliyahu zachar l'tayev. It's actually Eliyahu and was giving him this musr. That's why it was actually Eliyahu Navi coming to dress up to show this to be like this ugly person. And he was really ugly. Amar lo. So the ugly person said to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, Shalom Alechem. How are you doing, my teacher? Velo echzer lo. Rabbi Lazar didn't respond to him. Amar lo. Instead, he said, Vareka, you empty one. Kama mechor oso ha'ish. How ugly is that person? Shema kol bnei yircha mechorin kamoscha, is the whole pity of the city as ugly as you? Amr lo, the ugly man replied, Eni odeh, I don't know. Ela, Go tell the person who made me, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how ugly he made me. So what exactly is going on over here? That he really thought Rabbi Lazar would give him this sharp response to how ugly you are. Lechora, with the Marsha points out, he assumed that he thought he was like a thug. He thought it was a person who was coming to taunt him. He thought it was a person who was coming to make fun of him. And that's why he responded in such a sharp manner. But of course, he would never respond to a stump person that just came out to say Shalom Aleichem in this manner. Kivan Shiyada be'atzma shechatas. And Rabbi Lazar still, even with that, he recognized he judged him quickly and he insulted him. Yorad min hachamer, he actually came down from his donkey. When he prostrated himself in front of him, bent down, right? He laid in front of him. He said that I've spoken out in front of you, Macholi, please forgive me. I said, no, the ugly man said, I'm not forgiving you. He said, until you go, the person who made me, and tell him how ugly is that clay that you made me. Lezer traveled behind him, seeking to ask him for forgiveness until he got to finally to the city. People arrived at the city, they came to greet Rabbi Lazar. They said to him, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi, Mori, Mori, my teacher, Master, Mr. Gadol, Dor. Amalam, the ugly man said to him, Lava, Rabbi, who are you calling your teacher? Amalam, they said, Lazeshim, Tayacharecha, this person is traveling behind you. Amalam, Imzer, Rabbi, all your book comes to Israel. It is your greeting. There shouldn't be more like him in Klal Yisrael. Amalam, they said to him, why, what did he do? Amalam, Kach v'kachasalis, he told him what happened to him. Amalam, so they said to him, Avavichim, Nechola, Shadam Gadol Batari, still he asked you for forgiveness. He's a really big Talmud Chacham, he's a big tzaddik. Please forgive him. Amar lahem, he said back to them, Bishulchem areini mochala, only for your guys, for your sake, I'm going to forgive him. However, he shouldn't do this anymore. And make sure he doesn't do this. So what does it mean that he shouldn't do this anymore? Obviously, he's not going to come to insult someone. Rather, Marsha explains that it means that he should train himself to refrain from the feelings of arrogance, which would lead a person to even quickly judge people and be careful to always judge them carefully. Always be like a reed and be very flexible. And he learned from this story because he was very hard like a cedar. He was not nice to this person and he misjudged him. And therefore, it was for this reason that the reed was able to have pens drawn from it, to be able to have Sfarim, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs written from it. Very good. That's what we learned from this story over here. Now the Gemara continues next part of the Mishnah. V'chein yirshesh b'dever mapoles. The city has a dever, a pestilence, or a collapse of a building. That's going to be something that should warrant a fast. Tanur Rabbanan mapoles shamru bruas v'lo ruas. Something that was sturdy, not something you knew that all time looked like it was about to fall the whole time. It just fell down. That's just, that's something that was the nature was supposed to happen. But really, a sturdy building all of a sudden collapsed. Now, even if afterwards they feared there was all these problems with it, like I turned to the building Miami, that was sturdy. People didn't realize any of this was going to happen. And they found all these problems afterwards. The floor, that's still something that was, I would call, sturdy. Shayna Ruiz Lipo, Valores Lipo, that those are prone to collapse, not those are not prone to collapse. If it was a structurally sound building and then fell down, that is something that is a cause for reflection and fasting. What is the difference between a sturdy building and the same as a building that's not going to collapse? What is the difference between, aren't the same when it comes to things are going to fall, things are a different level of a building that's really going to fall? What's the two categories then? The second category is necessary to exclude the buildings that collapse due to their height. Even though they're sturdy, they're still extremely tall. Inami de kaima aguda denara, or the buildings are on a riverbank whose foundations might be undermined by the water of the river. Although these are inherently sturdy structures, they still are nevertheless prone to collapse. It would not warrant a fast for that purpose. So now the Gemara gives example of reverse, which buildings were unlikely to collapse, nevertheless collapse. Ki hai, shizuruah dehavim narda. Something obviously would be, there was a case of a wall that was, it was not stable wall in Arda. The lave chalef Rav Shmuel to say Rav Shmuel never pass alongside of it because they're afraid it's gonna fall down. Avakav the Kaima Basar Tlaisar, even they lived there for 12 years and they never fell down. Still, 13 years, not 12 years, they lived there for 13 years. They were still afraid that it was considered something that is not safe to go under. Yomachad Ikler of Adabar Avalasim. Wonder if Adabar Ada came with them. Amar Leila Shmuel the Rav. So Shmuel said to Rav, "Neistimar Nakif. Let's go detour around the walls because we're to not pass under the dangerous wall." Amar Leila Rav said back to Shmuel, "Lo tzricha hayna. We don't need it because the Ikar of Adabar Avabahadan. Rav Adabar is such a tzaddik. His chusim. We don't have to worry about anything. Tenafish chusay. His merit is so great. V'lo mistafkina. And therefore, I'm not afraid of the wall falling us and That is, in fact, what he did. That he went, and Ravada Bar Alva's close, they were not afraid of what's going to happen. A very interesting sugya is over here about avoiding danger. When is danger not a problem? It's a fascinating sugya adayom, especially with Corona and how to deal. What precautions to be taking is I'm not getting into that. But Etzem, just to point out that it's a very very complex issue. Obviously, we have the concept of Nishmartam al Nafshei Sichem, to be careful. But at the same time, there's also a concept of what is the also driving. Should driving be usher, driving on a highway? Obviously, speeding is another level. That's for sure. The post can bring down. But in general, there's accidents all the time. It's unavoidable that people will die from driving. So how is that okay? So there's generally, again, a malach that something that's the way of the land that people generally do and people aren't scared of. That's something that also your person's own fear of the situation that adds into the shaila of pikuach nefesh, or not even pikuach nefesh, just in general of being nishmartim on the nashos seichem. Just to quickly mention the story with the Chazon Ish. Famous story of the Chazon Ish, that there was a person living on a certain border town and wanted to move. So he asked the Chazon Ish for a shul. He said, no, you're already living in Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. People in the town are going to be afraid. You're going to move out of there. I don't know if his concern was made in the security, but he was living there for a long time and he was going to move. And the Chazon Ish told him not to. So the guy had a little bit of azus of a chutzpah. So he said to him, so why don't you move there on your merit? I don't have to worry about living on the border anymore. So the Chazon Ish said, I can't. It's pikuach nefesh. I'm not allowed to move there. Alright, so what's the word? Why is he allowed to tell this guy to stay there? Because you were already living there the whole time. You didn't find it a fear of concern of living there. And you didn't feel it's pikuach nefesh. So then you have a chiyuv to stay there for Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. But don't live there. I find it, I'm scared for myself. That's l'chora, the interpretation of the story of the Chazon Ish. And therefore, it's a problem for me to move there. Again, these are very complicated issues. The shaila of pikuach nefesh and being careful. Just pointing it out over here because we see the story that when they didn't walk when there was a schus, a tremendous tzaddik. We see also that a tzaddik is a ma'al, person who has tremendous, levels. We're going to see about that in a moment that also were not, there on very high levels. Rav Huna had wine in a certain place, a house that was about to fall. Vai left me and he wanted to remove it before the house collapsed. Aila le Rav Ada Bar Ava Hasan, but it was very dangerous. So he brought Rav Ada Bar Ava there because he knew that his Mishmaita Adapane, and he taught him to talk to Torah until he removed the wine. Bas Navak, as soon as Rav Ada walked out, Naval Besa, the house collapsed. So he knew the schus of Rav Ada Bar Ava, nothing's going to happen to them. Irgish Rav Ada Bar Ava, Rav Ada Bar Ava understood what he brought him into the house for. Ikbid, he got upset. Severlay Kihai Damar Rav Yana, because he held like Rav Yana that said, La'olam al yadam adam akam sakana v'yam ha'osan l'nes. Don't, even if you know that you have this chusim, you don't put yourself in a dangerous situation and a miracle is going to be performed for me. Why? Shema in osan l'nes. Maybe no miracles are going to be performed to you. And even if a miracle will be performed for you, timtulam osan l'nes, a miracle will be performed to you, mazakin l'mes chusim, it will be deducted from your merits, as the Pasuk says, Amar Rav Chanan, Ma'ikra the Pasuk, where do we learn this from? The Ksiv, Katoti b'kol ha'chasidim b'kol ha'emes. That a person, if Yaakov Avinu is writing that he was diminished from when in the fight with Esau, we just had a part of Vayishlach, right? It says that he's diminished. Rav Yaakov Avinu was understanding he's diminished, but having received so much reward and kindness in this world, he was afraid that that's taking away from this chusim that he'll have and this chusim even to be able to defend Esau. So we see that a person who has a miracle performed on him in certain bechina is removes him from in Esau. It's a shaila. If in general a person's ever a lot of daven for miracles, that because of this gemara over here, that we see that maybe not so shaila for daven for gemaras. In Yad Adimah about Chanukah, Rav Nevinzal said. In different contexts, I heard this from his son, that during the Yamim of Nisim, like Hanukkah and Purim, we are allowed to die. Normally, we're not supposed to be davening because of this Gemara, but during Hanukkah, which is the time of Nes, Hashem created already within the Teva of the Bria, of the 8 days of Hanukkah, have Nes within it, that we're allowed to daven for Nisim also during Hanukkah and during Purim as well. That's a fascinating Ha'ara from Ibn Hansal, and he brings a Raya from actually, of all places, the benching. When you forget the Lashon of Al Nisim, we say, you ask Hashem to do Nisim for Nevos for us, and then you say, Mei Matiso. Hey, let's ask Hashem to do it for us in Ace. We see that on Hanukkah, for a certain bechina, you're allowed to be asking for miracles. Again, that is not Muslim, but everyone, he suggested it. I don't know if it was actually B'derech HaLachal Maisa, but he suggested there might be a situation where a person might be allowed to ask for miracles. But in general, having a miracle be done to a person is a great thing. You make a suda and etc. You make a tosak Hashbar Chavada, but to daven for them is a whole nother shiloh because of this Gemara over here, that it would, on a certain level, diminishes from your zchusim that you have in this world. Now the Gemara continues, May have upda de Rav Ada Bar Hava. What were the ma'isim of Rav Ada Bar Ava that made him so great? Where's his gather? Like we had said before, Shalot Tamid of Rav Zira, they asked Rav Zira, Amalei Rav Ada Bar Ava, and some say the question was actually posed to Rav Ada himself. But Ma'ar Achli Yamim, why are we able to live such a long life? Amalei, he said to them, Imam Adlak Padit Besok Bezi, I never got angry in my house. Wow. Obviously, out coaching outside, but in the house where things are pressured and you're in the house the whole time, he said, I never got angry once in my house. I never also walked in front of someone who's greater than I. That actually is halacha and shulchan aruch. You're not supposed to be walking in front of a person who's a rav or a person who's a talmid chacham. So this is ikar din. So what was the big chap over here? So no, there you're allowed to walk with them. You're allowed to walk slightly behind them. Rav Avraham Bar Ava was extremely makbid to walk even way further behind them. That's an extra chumrah that he had. Below, he heard to Moshe to know if he never thought about Torah in a dirty ways. And compared with the word he's about to say, that's how amazing. And below, I locked him down almost below Torah without tefillin. I never walked 4 hours without studying Torah or without tefillin. Wow, so he was kolkolo Torah, yet he knew where he wasn't supposed to be learning, he did not learn. And the Rav Goldlich once gave Musar also, and Rav Gold in YU, and he was talking about how the Chazon Ish used to say about people learning during Chazar Shashat, and he used to say, the Chazon Ish said, you see the wall of Chazon Ish over there, all the Chiddushim, all the Torah that I learned, not one Chiddush did I think about during davening. So he said, this is in Medovas Navos, in dirty places like a bathroom and things like that, but the same thing applies. You're not supposed to be learning, you're not supposed to be learning, engaging in mitzvahs and doing things. You're not supposed to be learning during Chazar Shashat, you're supposed to be engaged in listening to the Chazar Shashat. It may even be greater than the actual tefillah that we have, according to Rav Soloveitchik has a article about that, the Chassam Sofer. You pay attention to Chazar Shashat. By the way, back to over here, the Gemara says, "V'leishanti beis hamidrash." I didn't sleep in a beis hamidrash. Loishanti loshnas kevel loshnas arai. Not a major sleep or even a minor sleep. Minor sleep is definitely lechora might be permitted mikardin, but he was machmir even to not doze off at all. V'loishanti betakalas chaver. Never rejoiced in a fellow who stumbles. That's a pasuk that says, "Benoifal vechal tismach." The pasuk Shalom Melech tells us the Mishlei not to do that. So over here, the Marsha points out that maybe it means that he was careful not to rejoice even when it was not even with regard to someone he didn't like. He just let's say someone forced to sell something cheaply, he wouldn't derive any benefit from that at the expense of somebody else. Never called a friend by his nickname, by his surname, which also maybe had a negative connotation. He'd be careful not to embarrass him by doing that. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav from Rav Papa. Now Rav Huna, who was machmir about this, Rav Huna must have been great himself. So Rav Huna also, we're going to mention some of the great things about Rav Huna, even though Rav the specialist chosim. Rav Huna was also great. Amar Lei Rav Rafam said to him, "Benukas b'yanukusei lo dechirin." I don't remember things, you know, so long ago from when he was young. However, b'serusei dechirin, I remember things when he was very old. The cholyalan the avide avi mafikin lei me'agrosa the dava. So they would bring him out, and there's a golden chair. B'serlei lechule masan, you would inspect the entire city because you had a lot of respect because he was in this golden chair, so people would respect him. He was very wealthy. Any wall that was something that he was afraid that might be falling down, he would have it demolished so that the it would not topple on someone else's building. And if it was not possible for the owner, he didn't afford to the expenses of rebuilding it, he would leave it there for him to rebuild. If it was not possible for the owner to bear the expenses, he would then take the response upon himself and go pay for it to be rebuilt. Every Friday afternoon, he would send agents to the market. He would send his agent and it was left over the growers of the market. It was about to close. He would buy it and throw it into the river. So the Gemara says, why would he do this? Give it to the poor people. He says, because maybe they're gonna rely on Rav Huna's gifts, and they're not gonna come to the market to buy things for Shabbos. He wanted the market to be full of food. They would lack food in the market, so therefore, he did not give it to the aniyim. But the Shadal Mahima, so why didn't he give it to animals to feed it rather than to throw it in the river? So he thought that it was better that food is fit for humans, should not be fed to animals because they're on a lower level. The Maisabriya thing should be the way it should be, that humans are greater than animals, as much as people, as long as they want to think otherwise, that we are on a higher level, so that also the food that's fit for us, we should not necessarily be giving it to our animals. Leftover foods, okay? For sure, and to be merachem on the bria as well, obviously for sure. But we see that things for a human is for human, things for an animal is for an animal. He did not want to feed this. Why is he throwing in the river? So Rashi points out, lechora, he must have. There must be people upstream that were able to catch the food that he was giving, and those people would eat it, and they wouldn't rely on it because they never thought that up the stream. They thought it was a happenstance they would be able to get something, and for sure it would not be relying upon it. Velo lizmin eklal. So why would he buy them? So why was what is he buying to throw them in the river? Because nimtzas machshin la'asilava. Because it caused the growers to not bring so much abundance of produce to the markets for Erev Shabbos. He wanted people to have tons of food for Shabbos, and he was afraid that if he didn't buy everything up, that they would not bring a lot in the future. So he wanted to make sure there was tons of food for Shabbos. Now the Gemara gives another example of Rav Huna's tzidkus. Ki havei le milsa da susa, when he had medicine that was not available to the public, he would fill a jug with it. V'talei le b'seifa devesa, you put it in the entrance to his house. V'yamar le debaisa leisa v'leshkel, whoever wants, come, take. Expensive thousands of dollars of medicine. He knew the way of the demon Shvisa would attack people with unwashed hands and you would stop them. He would place a jug of water and put it over there and declare, "Call the Tzarach Lilo Dilo Lisa," and anyone who washed his hands before he should come to me and not put his life in danger. That's what he would do. That was his tzidkus. Another example of his tzidkus, whenever you sit down to eat any meal, Have pasach lebave, he would open his door. Like we do on the Seder night. Very similar. We say, anybody come, anyone who's need, come. Food and let us eat it. So that's what he would do, but he would meant it. And everybody would come in, thousands of people would come in and eat by him. Amar Rava, Shaila Karastir also, right? His house was just open. His court, his chatzar was always open for anybody to eat. All these ma'aseh sitkos of Rav Huna I could do lebar mahavet, except for this last one. Dolam atzinu mahavet, I couldn't do this. Mishum de'nafishe be'mechuzah. There's so many poor people. Troops of the poor people are going to come in and they're going to eat everything that I have. I'm not going to be able to have any food for myself if I did this. It's amazing sitkos of Rav Huna over here that he's able to do this, and that was an amazing thing. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Ulfa Rabbi Yochanan tomorrow's daf.